So it's New Year's, a time of renewal, time of change, a time perhaps to let the past go and move into a new time where we can become, well, I don't know what we'll become. That's one of the great blessings that God gives us, is that we do not know. We can plan, we can organize, we can put everything in a row so that we feel pretty sure that what is going to happen is what we plan on happening. But we never know. And while that is at times incredibly difficult and painful and challenging, it is how God works. God asks that we give ourselves to the Spirit so that that support will help us through the times that we do not know, that we do not understand, that we did not see coming. And we certainly seem to live in the midst of one of those times when things are changing all around us. Now, maybe that's not true in your personal lives. I hope that it's not. But if it is, God's working you. And certainly on the national and the global level, God is apparently working us pretty hard. Not everyone is pleased with the results of the election and what we'll be facing in the next 4 years. And some people are very pleased. They feel like it's good. It's a change for the good, that at least someone's coming in who has no idea how the government works. And there's an example of how God works, because I did not plan on saying that at all. But the Lord works in mysterious ways. And I think we have to hope and trust and let our faith be built on that, that God will find a way to continue to transform the world, to make the world the place that it might be, the kingdom that we hope it will be. We're a beloved community such as our own and such as the many, 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 many others around the planet can feel the support, the love, the justice of God in their lives. I certainly pray that this is true. But oftentimes when we're going to a new phase in our development as individuals or as families or as businesses or as communities or states or nations, maybe even as planets, we have to go through serious changes. I'm reminded how some of my daughter's favorite creatures are the dinosaurs. Now, she has never, to the best of my knowledge, met a dinosaur, though I guess from what I understand, birds are apparently descendants of dinosaurs. But in order for the next phase of development on this planet to happen, the dinosaurs pretty much went away. Now, who knows how the Spirit will work in our lives? I hope it works with kindness and gentleness and love and compassion. We'll find out in time how it will work. To keep our faith strong, to keep our hearts open, to step forward into the challenges that life gives us, even if it's not our choice to have those challenges in our life, which is often the case. We don't choose to deal with war or disease or economic collapse, and yet these things happen. We don't choose to leave the country we were born and grew up in order to make a new life in a new land. Some people might. But most of the time, people that do that feel they have to do it. They don't have a choice. So we need to do all we can to support our community in this forward movement that God is thrusting upon us, and see perhaps the benefit and the wisdom in that choice, rather than just the injustice and the frustration and the fear and the anxiety, which is perfectly natural to have those responses. But there's only so far we can go with that. Life's challenges will never end. And I think even when we go on to the next life, whatever that might be, there's still going to be challenges in whatever form we happen to take, in whatever position God places us. We will continue to have the challenges that being in creation entails. You know, three kings came to visit baby Jesus in the stable after his birth. And as you may recall, Jesus and Mary and Joseph were powerless people, people that had no social standing, no economic wealth, no place in the society that was considered valuable by the society at large. Joseph, as far as we know, was a carpenter, but they were both quite young. Maybe he was just a journeyman carpenter trying to learn his trade. Mary was young, her first child, and they had to travel to this out-of-the-way spot to register for the tax that the empire required that they go to. And yet these three wise men from other cultures, some have said from Persia and from Africa and maybe from the north into the mountains of Turkey or Georgia, came to visit because they saw a star in the sky that led them to visit for reasons they did not know, but they saw the star. And the star was a miracle because the star was not normally there. So they went and traveled for weeks through the cold, through lands they did not know and languages they did not speak. And as some of you know, traveling, when you're demanded to do so, is not an easy thing to do, especially if you're traveling into unknown territory. And they stopped and saw Herod, who was the local king, local ruler, on behalf of the Roman Empire, and said, "We're following this star. Any idea where it might be leading?" And he consulted his wise men, and they spoke of Bethlehem as the place where the Messiah would arise. So the Magi went to Bethlehem, and they saw this, a baby? We've traveled all this far to see a baby? Maybe we got our calculations wrong. How did we come all this way just to see a baby? But what a baby. A baby filled with spirit. A baby touched by grace. A baby that expressed in its own infantile manner the perfection of creation, surrounded with the light of God. And even the shepherds came from fields nearby because the angels came and told them, "Come and see this amazing newborn king." And you see, in my experience, this is how God works. God gives us gifts that we do not recognize as gifts in the moment when we receive them. We sometimes see them as extra information that we do not need, that is not giving us anything of value. That is, "Oh man, I don't need to hear about this stuff right now. This isn't, what does this have to do with my life?" It's not like they were going to Bethlehem, seeing the baby, and said, "Oh, we're going to adopt the baby and bring it back to our kingdoms." That would have been what Hollywood would have done. Right? They would have said, "Three wise men and a baby. It'll knock them out at the box office. They're going to love it. Full of jokes, full of, you know, different cultures clashing with each other. It'll be hilarious." But you see, that's what the human mind does. That's what we do because that's what we know. God works in God time. And God time is independent in so many ways of human time, because God time is eternity. Eternity is a long, long time. The redwood trees growing on the coast, they might live hundreds of years. And to us, that seems like a long time, which it is. But think of Mount Shasta, far to the north of us. That mountain has been there for millions of years. And yet still, that is still just a piece of God time. So when God speaks to us and gives us a gift, as God gave the Magi that gift of following the star to find the newborn king, they wrestled with what it meant. I don't have the poem in front of me, but T.S. Eliot, the poet of the 20th century, wrote a poem about the Magi and the trip to Bethlehem. And he describes in this poem how they traveled and the places they went through and the difficulties they had and all of that. And they finally get to the stable and they see this miracle child. And then they go back to their kingdoms. They go back to their normal lives. And he ends the poem by saying, that trip was like a small death for the king that is telling the story. I lost something in that trip. And his final line is words to the effect of, I wish I could die like that again. God gives us so very much all the time, and it is up to us to pay attention, to let ourselves be changed and transformed, not just on Christmas, and not just on New Year's, and not just on Easter, but throughout our lives, all the time. Our time here as people is so limited. A week ago, one of the members of our church, Latia Vokalu, passed away. Early Christmas morning. She had been dealing with cancer for the last number of months. She was diagnosed in late August, I believe, and started chemo in September. And it was looking like maybe it was working. And then just before Christmas, it wasn't working. It was getting worse. And the doctor said, you're on hospice care. So she was home with her husband, Eleza, and people would come and visit and give their support, but she was dying. And she finally passed, which is a blessing in that she's not suffering anymore and she's been called home, home to Jesus, home to God. But this will happen for all of us at some point. Not in that way, in a way that is unique to each of us. We can believe that in our lives we have lots of time. And as when we're younger, we certainly believe we have lots of time because eternity seems to be where we live. As we get older, eternity shrinks. And we're aware that our bodies are not as strong as they used to be. We're aware that we're maybe more tired than we were when we were 20. We're aware that we probably are seeing the end, not necessarily close, but sometimes. So the time is now. Not because God is saying, I'm going to get you, or you're going to be sent to the terrible place if you don't take your action today. But at a certain point, our time here will be up. We won't have another chance. It won't be, oh, I feel sick now, but tomorrow I'll feel better. At a certain point, I feel sick now, and there may not be a tomorrow. In this life, in these bodies, in this world that we know so well. So, we need to work today to give ourselves to God and let this power of the Spirit transform us and change us. And that'll mean something different for each one of us. There's not a right way or a wrong way. You might do it through prayer, through worship, through your community, through giving to others, through practicing your art, through music, through working to making the world a better place, to just being kinder or more aware of your own selves day to day. Oh, I'm doing that thing again I do where I'm needlessly gruff. I'm thinking of myself more right now than I need to. What about the other people in my lives? Maybe I need to be thinking of them. Maybe God is asking me to do something now that I'm not sure what it is. Maybe I should stop and take the time to listen to see what God is asking of me, rather than thinking, I'll get to that later. Because later sometimes never comes until you realize later is now and you're on your way out. For 2017, as we are now in that new year, my prayer is that our community continues to flourish and grow and to become a greater and more powerful part of Petaluma. We have seen wonderful growth over the last year or so. We have lost many beloved members of our community. We've also gained new members of our community, members who have joined us sometimes from other churches, sometimes from other areas, who are now regular, solid, giving members. Now, you don't have to be a member of a church in order to give yourself to God. Many people do it independently of any religious organization. But I'm going to assume that because you're here today, you're probably liking the whole church thing pretty well. So give here, but give in the rest of your lives too. And for those who have not gotten around to their tithing, it's not too late. There's still opportunities. We've had a good year, and I think financially we're in better condition than we were 2 and 3 and 4 years ago. Our membership is not growing rapidly, but it's stable, and we're growing bit by bit. We've even been able to welcome some older members who had stopped attending. They're coming more regularly, and it's such a blessing to see them here. Life is good. In spite of the challenges and in spite of what you read on the news, I would encourage you to not look at the news more than you have to. Because while I'm not a believer in that the media is out to get us or that they're run by, you know, atheist humanists and all that kind of stuff you hear, it does seem at times that their job is to cry wolf a lot. Not wolf in that the things they're saying aren't real and haven't happened, because they are real and they do happen. We live much closer together than we used to. Things that used to happen across the other side of the planet and you wouldn't hear about ever, or until the next week or the next month when the news finally traveled to you, well, now we hear about it 10 seconds after it's happened. It is overwhelming. It's horrible to hear about explosions in nightclubs in Turkey and about wars and about religious attacks and about, you know, all the things that are out there. So make sure, if you can, that rather than putting too much time and energy into what CNN is telling you or what the newspaper is telling you, that you put as much time, if not more, into what God is telling you. Because God is speaking all the time, but God doesn't have as many special effects as some of the news media have, as the movies have. God actually has many more special effects, but God is much more cautious about how often God uses those special effects on us, which is probably a really good thing. If we were seeing, you know, if we were falling off our horses like Paul because of the great light that hits upon us, well, that's a blessing. But it doesn't happen that way that often. At least it doesn't seem to. but the still small voice within is there. And it's wanting to talk to us. It's wanting us to pay attention. It won't shout louder in order to get our attention, except on rare occasions. We have to prepare ourselves. We've just finished the season of Advent, coming into Christmas, and now we're into Epiphany. But the act of preparing ourselves for God's word and action in our lives is unending. The more we practice that, the more we'll be able to hear God in our lives. So, step by step, over the course of our lives and the lives of those who preceded us and of those who will follow us in the future, the miracle of creation becomes more complete, more finely tuned and perfected as a result of each of our efforts and of our faith and our love. Please join me this year for a great year at Petaluma United Methodist Church as we work to bring the kingdom into life and as we each work to support each other in our faith journeys so that God is with us, not just at Christmas, not just at Easter, but all the time, in all ways. May this be so.